How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
I just want to acknowledge a God not just of second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances, because that is the reality of our shared humanity.
I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is.
What essential difference is there between those humans that Gosnell killed after birth and those he killed before?
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
Well, it looks like the Gosnell trial is wrapped up unexpectedly early with a verdict and then with a essentially guilty plea to avoid the death penalty. That story is, much has yet to be written about it, but that story is essentially over. What has it meant? What has it exposed? What has the Gosnell trial showed the American public, the proponents of abortion on demand, and pro-lifers? What should we learn from it? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Robert George of Princeton and Harvard Universities will be with us for the first few minutes. We're going to be talking about the verdict in the trial of Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell. Also, his reaction to Ruth Bader Ginsburg speaking at the University of Chicago Law School on Roe v. Wade, some interesting things she had to say there, and get his reaction a little bit later. We're going to spend some time with Pastor Charles Lehman, part two of our four-part weekly series on baptism. Today, what does baptism do? You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Robert George is a regular guest. He's professor of jurisprudence and director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions at Princeton University. He's visiting professor at Harvard Law School, former member of the President's Council on Bioethics, and he's author of several books, including Embryo, A Defense of Human Life. Dr. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks very much. It's great to be back on the show.
What is your general reaction to the outcome of the Kermit Gosnell trial?
Well, my reaction is that it's cast a big spotlight on the practice of abortion in America. What Dr. Gosnell did was kill children once they had emerged from the womb. But under our law and practice, abortionists kill children all the time of the same gestational age in the womb. Now, location can't make the difference between first-degree murder and the exercise of a constitutional right. So what the Gosnell trial has exposed for everyone to see is the profound contradiction in our law and practice between our professed commitment to the sanctity of human life and our willingness to tolerate and accept and even throw the mantle of constitutional protection around the practice of killing unborn children.
Were you at all surprised by the verdict, 3 guilty counts of the 4 first-degree murder charges?
No, I actually wasn't surprised. I followed the trial fairly closely. The prosecution built its case extremely well. The doctor plainly had taken the lives of children by the grisly practice he called snipping, killing them outside the womb. So there was no question to me that the verdict was going to be returned as a guilty verdict. But the thing I think we need to focus on is the fact that it's very difficult to say exactly what Gosnell did wrong unless we're willing to say it's wrong to kill babies, whether they're inside the womb or outside the womb. So it wasn't just Herbert or Kermit Gosnell who was on trial. Abortion in America was on trial. Supporters of abortion were on trial. People like President Obama, who, as a state senator in Illinois, voted even against a law to protect children who had survived abortion. the very children of the type who were killed by Kermit Gosnell. Those are the people who are on trial, not just this particular doctor who's going to go to jail for life for this crime.
What did you make of the defense's argument, which was essentially trying to prove that the children were dead before completely exiting the womb? In other words, that these had just been late-term abortions or partial birth abortions and not infanticide after birth.
Well, it was the only shot the defense had at getting an acquittal or getting a hung jury here, and that is to claim that by a poisoning process, the doctor had killed them when they were still in the womb. Then when they emerged from the womb, what appeared to be signs of life were not really signs of life. They were just illusions. They were just the twitching of an already dead baby. Well, it didn't work. I didn't think it would work. The evidence was against it. But on the other hand, once again, let's assume it's true that he managed to kill them before they emerged from the womb. Would we really want to say that's a morally significant difference, that he should be treated as facilitating an exercise, the exercise of a constitutional right, if he kills them by poisoning them 2 minutes earlier rather than kills them by snipping their spinal cords 2 minutes later? It's that contradiction that's at the heart of this whole case in our law that puts abortion and abortion supporters on trial every bit as much as Kermit Gosnell was on trial.
Planned Parenthood was trying to get ahead of the game in announcing as soon as the verdict was made public that now women are protected from, I guess you could say in their way of thinking, the bad actors in the abortion industry as opposed to the more honest, good actors in the abortion industry. Again, their way of thinking about it. What did you make of their reaction?
Planned Parenthood's statement was preposterous and disgusting. The focus of Planned Parenthood was on women seeking abortions. Well, Gosnell was not convicted of first-degree murder for his treatment of women. He was convicted of first-degree murder for killing three babies once they had emerged from the womb. Babies, the killing of whom Planned Parenthood would support if it happened a couple of minutes earlier when the baby was still in the womb. Nevertheless, Planned Parenthood's statement did not even mention the babies, not one of the babies, not once. In other words, it attempted to divert the public's attention, utterly unsuccessfully because it was such a pathetic attempt, to divert the public's attention away from the crime Kermit Gosnell was actually convicted of, the murder of those babies, toward an entirely separate issue about Gosnell's treatment of women, which was not what the verdict was returned about.
Dr. George, do the proponents, and there continue to be, at least unless there's some indication otherwise, do the proponents of abortion on demand through all 9 months of gestation, including partial birth abortion, do they bear the burden now, post-Gosnell verdict, of finally demonstrating the difference between infanticide and abortion?
Yes, I think they do. That you put your question very well. By putting the focus on that very issue, this case has forced abortion supporters into the last position they ever wanted to be in, which was to explain the difference in moral principle that should be recognized by law between infanticide and abortion. And the fact of the matter is, they can't explain it because there is no explanation. Location is morally completely arbitrary. It can make no difference in the status of a being. If you kill a baby inside the womb, it's no different from killing the baby outside the womb. The baby's the same baby. In fact, the baby may be of a later gestational age when killed inside the womb than a baby who's killed outside the womb at an earlier gestational age. So the most vulnerable point of support for abortion has now been exposed by this trial, and I think those of us who believe in the sanctity of human life in all stages and conditions and believe in the equality of human beings irrespective of age or size or stage of development or condition of dependency, those of us who believe that principle now need to drive the point home and force those on the other side who are defending the killing of unborn babies to explain the difference to the American public between killing a baby inside the womb and killing a baby outside the womb, to explain the difference between the status of a baby inside the womb and outside the womb.
Dr. George, there's something else I wanted you to react to, if you would. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice of the Supreme Court, was recently at the University of Chicago Law School speaking there on what I guess you could summarize as her feelings about the inadequacy of the Roe v. Wade decision. She believed that the court should have steered away from a sweeping legalization of abortion, focusing instead upon just the unconstitutionality of the Texas law that spawned the case. She said that Roe v. Wade seemed to stop the momentum on the side of change, and she seemed generally dissatisfied with Roe v. Wade, albeit still a supporter of the so-called right to choose. What are your reactions to her thoughts there at the University of Chicago Law School?
Well, I've been following Justice Ginsburg's thought about these matters since before she was Justice Ginsburg, as a matter of fact. And the most interesting thing, I think, for your listeners to understand is that her view has not changed. This is precisely the view that she articulated many, many years ago, before she went on to the Supreme Court of the United States, in speeches in which she said that the problem with Roe versus Wade is that it short-circuited a Democratic debate, which she believes would have resolved itself in favor of a pretty broad right to abortion, but would have produced a kind of general societal consensus favoring a pretty permissive abortion position. That is her view. It's been her view. It's her view today. So her criticism of Roe versus Wade is that the court, by intervening in the political process and imposing a solution in the absence of a democratically democratic resolution of the issue, created a backlash and gave wind, put wind into the sails of the pro-life movement, creating our 40-year-plus culture war over abortion. Now, I happen to believe she's wrong about that. She is overestimating support for abortion at the time of Roe versus Wade. I think she is being overly optimistic from her side's point of view about what would have happened if it weren't for Roe. She thinks the country was moving in the direction of a pro-abortion consensus. I think there are reasons for thinking she's wrong about that. New York, it's true, is, together with Colorado and California prior to Roe, had enacted pretty liberal abortion statutes. But what people fail to remember, should remember, is that New York actually revoked its statute. And that revocation, which went through the New York legislature, was then vetoed by Governor Nelson Rockefeller at the time. So there was already emerging a strong resistance to abortion, a strong pro-life movement, even at that time. But however that may be, whether she's right about that or I'm right about that, Ginsburg's position has been a consistent one. It has not changed. She supports abortion. She will vote to uphold Roe. But she thinks that the breadth of the ruling as an imposition by the Supreme Court was a mistake.
Dr. Robert George is our guest. When we come back, I got one more question for him on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's comments on Roe v. Wade at the University of Chicago Law School. Dr. Robert George is professor of jurisprudence and director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions at Princeton University and a visiting professor at Harvard Law School. After our conversation with him concludes, we'll talk about baptism, take up our series with Pastor Charles Lehman.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Robert George is our guest. We're talking with him about, well, we were talking about the verdict in the trial of Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell. We've turned to the subject of Ruth Bader Ginsburg speaking at the University of Chicago Law School about Roe v. Wade. Based upon what you said before the break, Dr. George, it sounds as though we found at least one Supreme Court justice here who is willing to admit that Roe v. Wade is bad law, badly made, but she will continue to support it.
Yeah, I think that's right. When she says bad law, though, she's not making the kind of argument that other critics of Roe, such as Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas, make. They say, look, to interpret the Constitution properly, we have to interpret it according to its plain meaning and its historical understanding, its original understanding. And on that principle, Roe is obviously an abomination because there's nothing in the text or logic or structure or original understanding of the Constitution that would support anything remotely like a right to abortion. When Ginsburg says it was a bad mistake, she's not actually claiming that it was a constitutional error in the sense that Thomas and Scalia would say it is. She's simply saying that it was a bad political judgment by the court and had a bad effect on the pro-abortion cause, that it impeded rather than advanced the pro-abortion cause.
Dr. Robert George is professor of jurisprudence and director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions at Princeton University. He's a visiting professor at Harvard Law School, former member of the President's Council on Bioethics, and author of several books, including Embryo, A Defense of Human Life. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. George, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.